Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. We are off and running on the final day of April. We're going to transition into May. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. To all of our Jewish friends, I hope it's been a very meaningful Passover for you. Passover will end tonight at sunset. The Buckmaster Show, in our 14th year and 36th year here in Tucson Media, coming to you from the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media Campus, where we have five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030, KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk on the radio. Worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts available for you. Hope you'll check out BuckmasterShow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. And United States Representative Republican Juan Ciscomani, representing Arizona's 6th Congressional District. Congressman, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Tell me about your trip. You're just back from Israel. How did that go?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, I'm back in Washington now. A few weeks ago, early April, actually, took a 1 week trip to Israel with about 17, 18 other members of Congress, and it was timely, obviously. I mean, 6 days after we came back, Israel was bombed by Iran with rockets and drones and everything. But when we were there, it was very eye opening in a lot of ways. I mean, it's hard to summarize a trip like that, but it was, we got to see the sites of the attacks of October 7th, also got to get a very close and personal look at how much they're surrounded and how small of an area really Israel is, and just the big scope of the Middle East and how their enemies are all around them. And we stood just about a mile away from the Syrian border, from the Lebanese border as well, and the risk that they posed to them. Now, that when we were there, we were told that they didn't expect Iran to do anything directly that they would expect them to do through their proxies, which are, again, all around them. But obviously that escalated quickly when Iran did attack directly. But we got to meet with government officials, but also with families of the hostages, and got to hear from them. It was just a very fast trip, 7 days, but it was all packed in with good information.
What do you what's your opinion on the demonstrations around the country, and now the University of Arizona has closed off the mall because of protests there over the war in Gaza? Some of your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first I'll say this, and I want to make it clear that, you know, people have a First Amendment right to express their opinion, and that's but that's not what we're seeing here in most of these examples. We're seeing a chance to annihilate a group of people. We're seeing our Jewish students not feeling safe in their own schools. We're seeing in several cases, specifically in Columbia, the university not enforce any of their policies that they said they would. They're allowing students to break into buildings and take over in a violent demonstration calling for the annihilation of Israel and against Jewish. So obviously anti-Semitic, and that's a big problem. That's a big problem. There's a difference in the line between expressing your opinion, criticizing a government and those things versus going too far and calling for violence against a particular group. No, that shouldn't be allowed anywhere.
It's unusual to have a bipartisan group of people go down to the border, but that's what happened. You were involved with this group. I think there were about, what, a half a dozen of you?
Yeah, there were. That's right. We were. So I partnered with Greg Stanton, Democrat in the Phoenix area. He's the former mayor of Phoenix. So I worked with him when I was with Governor Ducey, when I was leading the Arizona-Mexico Commission. Greg Stanton was the mayor of Phoenix, and we got to work in actually on USMCA, advocating for that, and also earlier than that, just on trade and commerce issues. So I'm interested to work with whoever I can work with to address the border crisis that we have. At the same time, I have background into trade and commerce on the border, as you and I have talked so many times, and then I have a personal experience with actually immigrating here and going through the process. So we wanted to make sure that the 2 days were a reflection of what the border looks like. So we covered the law part of it. We were at ASU and U of A. Then we also covered the trade and commerce piece. So we were in Nogales. We actually crossed over to the border on the Mexico side, visited a maquiladora there. And then we also obviously focused on the border security piece and met with Cochise County officials and the prosecutor there in the county and sheriffs and border patrols. So it was a real taste of what the border situation looks like, as much as we can do in 2 days. And again, it was important because this was the first bipartisan trip that Congress had done to the border in recent years. And it wasn't just bipartisan, but it was also binational. So yeah, you're right. We had six members here, and most of them hadn't been to the border. And those that had been to the Texas border, but not the Arizona one. So they got to see how different and unique our border is compared to any other place. So it was successful. I would say that it was successful. I think they saw firsthand. And in my book, when people leave our state back to Washington, better informed and more educated on what's going on at the border, that's a win for us. That's why my border bills, most of them have had bipartisan support, including the latest one that we tried to pass a couple of weeks ago when we stayed here on the weekend. Unfortunately, didn't meet the threshold, but we had Democrats voting for that also.
You know, as the economic competition with China heats up and more companies, American companies, are saying, you know, I want to bring our operation closer to home. Mexico, the border is a player there. And, of course, Tucson, which is technically known as a port of Tucson. We've been talking about that a lot on the show recently, about all of these huge warehouses that have been built on speculation, but they know if you build it, somebody's going to come.
That's right. I mean, in recent years, we've added several things to the port of entry in Nogales, like cold room facilities. That was important so we can actually be competitive with California, as berries and other produce that needs refrigeration can go through our port, and we can be competitive in that sense. We've had the dual processing as well of customs from both sides, looking at cargo at the same time. That was a pilot program launched here. There I'm in Washington now, but there in Arizona at home for us. So we've been cutting edge on a lot of these things that continue to make us competitive. And you're right, we have the Port of Tucson. If you drive around Nogales, Arizona, you see hundreds of thousands of square footage of also cold room facilities and warehouses that house all this. And you and I have talked about this many times. When we look at the trade between Arizona and Mexico, that's the number one trading partner for Arizona times four. So yeah, it's not even close. Canada's at $4 billion. Mexico is at $17 billion. So it's a huge revenue generator for Arizona, for jobs. That's not even including tourism. That tourism is another section of this. So it's a big win. And when you talk about the threat that China poses to us in every aspect, technology, cybersecurity, but also in trade, if we can nearshore a lot of what has gone over to China back into the partnership between United States, Mexico, and Canada, the North American agreement there that was shepherded in by actually, you know, Clinton back in the 90s and then President Trump recently, that got strengthened. That's a big win for the region. So we need to promote more of that. We can't be depending on China on anything. So this is just another opportunity that not only improves the economic development piece of it, but also it plays a role in national security for us.
As a congressman, your role is to be in many ways a conduit between Washington and the constituents. And a lot of constituents have trouble with VA benefits, IRS returns, Social Security checks. Your office can help, right?
Absolutely. You know, this is one of the things that this doesn't come up in the campaign trail. No one tells you, like, how are you going to pick up the phones when people call your office? How are you going to do constituent services? You run on kind of like the big issues that people want to talk about at that time. But once you get in the job and you turn the lights on and you have an office, you know, you have to take care of people. This is what it's all about, this business. I always say I'm in the people business. So our main area is taking care of them, especially the people that when they call our office, Bill, at that point they've been on hold with Social Security or with VA benefits or with Medicare, whoever, for hours.
Yes.
Sometimes. And someone tells them, it's like, hey, call your member of Congress. They may be able to help. So, you know, before anything else, I want to tell people that are listening, call our office first. We'll be happy to go advocate for you.
Wow.
And a lot of times it's just money stuck somewhere because of the bureaucracy and the red tape. So far in the year and a half we've been in office, we've been able to return over $2 million to our constituents. This is money that either the IRS said that they owed, that actually they didn't, and once things got cleared up, they were free from that bill, or benefits that were stuck somewhere that haven't been freed up in months or sometimes even years. And when a member of Congress calls directly on certain lines within the department, that helps. And I also learned that when you're in the Appropriations Committee and you call a government agency, your call gets answered a little quicker too. So it shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. And I'm happy to take advantage of the position that we have, because remember, these agencies get the money from the approval of our office, our offices. And so I'm always happy to advocate, especially for our veterans, to go in there and make those calls on their behalf. And we've done that for dozens and dozens and dozens of people. And it's one of the most gratifying things about this job that I can have. And this kind of stuff doesn't make the news, doesn't make, you know, people just go on about their way and they have a better life. So also passports or things of that nature that are just, you don't think about it until you're in the middle of it. And I'm just very happy to be able to be a small part of people, you know, taking some weight off their shoulders there.
All right, Congressman Juan Ciscomani. Thank you, Congressman. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much, Bill. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Congressman Juan Ciscomani on the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise celebrating up at Mona's. Tucson Lifestyle Magazine naming Mona's the favorite bakery of Tucsonans. Well-deserved honor to Steve and the team up at Mona's. They're open 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Again, open right now for lunch. And yes, they are now serving alcoholic beverages. We'll take a break right here. Then we will go on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I believe Shelley Fishman is in Venice. We'll talk to him right after this.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelly Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelly via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
And let's welcome Shelly Fishman back to the show telephonically. Shelly calling in from Venice. Shelly, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. How's the trip going?
Well, the trip is great. I just want to clarify, we're not in Venice, Florida. We're in Venice, Italy. And, okay. And I'm sitting here on the side of a canaletto. I can reach out and touch the water, and there are gondolieri coming in and hawking for business. And so I decided to sit out here on this balcony and allow the background noise to kind of become a little bit of atmosphere as we do this interview.
So how are things going so far on the trip?
Well, the trip is great. We had planned this a couple of years in advance. We got here to Venice on Friday evening, and actually Thursday evening. And what we didn't realize at the time was that the Pope was going to be giving a mass here in St. Mark's Square on Sunday. Now, you know, when the Pope goes somewhere, it kind of gets the attention of everybody for security reasons. And so all of St. Mark's Square was really kind of cordoned off. And if your hotel is right off of St. Mark's Square, as ours is, you can't get there and you can't get from there. And in a town that's already packed with tourists, it's just, you know, one heck of a mess. But when do you get to see the Pope?
There you go. Hey, Shelly, a lot of concern with the financial markets. It looks like the inflation situation, inflation rearing its ugly head again. A lot of concern whether the Fed may decide not to even do a rate increase this year.
Well, that concern is unfounded, I believe. We got a report last week that growth in the first quarter of this year came in at around 1.6%, as opposed to, you know, the 2.5 or 6 or 7% that had been forecast by economists. And that, you know, sent the markets into a tailspin for one day. You know, we had very, very high growth in the last quarter of last year. And so there are some adjustments that are being made. I don't know what the real figure is going to be. It's going to be higher than the 1.6 that got reported last week. The market took a breath and kind of said on Friday, yeah, we got that. And yesterday as well, today is backing off a bit because the Fed is meeting today and tomorrow to talk about interest rates and what they're going to be doing about inflation. Inflation, you know, ticked up a couple of hundredths of a point. I don't think that really means much. But the bad, or if you will, the worse than expected economic numbers that were released last week might in fact let the Fed, have another excuse to declare victory and finally begin to reduce interest rates. Now, you know, you and I have been talking about this for, my gosh, a year. Interest rates have gone up. They went up because the Fed pushed them there. the Fed pushed them there in an attempt to control inflation. Inflation is, you know, right now somewhere in the 3% range. They have done their job. They need to reduce the rates. They need to reduce the rates soon so that people can get back to buying houses and buying cars.
Well, do you think this talk about no rate increase until 2025 is really kind of fueling this concern? The media has just been all over this, Shelley, talking about it seems like every report we get out about inflation just points to the fact that the Fed is going to get aggressive again. I hope they don't actually consider raising rates.
Well, Bill, I have been out of the country now for 3 weeks, so I'm not sure I'm, you know, fully aware of the things you're hearing. I'm not hearing that here. What I can tell you is that our interest rates in the U.S. are lower than anywhere else in the developed world, in the, you know, industrialized world. And if you and I were to kind of, you know, cross our pinkies and make, you know, a bet for a quarter that interest rates would be lowered or not this year, I'm still betting on 2 to 3 decreases. I'm willing to go even 50 cents that there's not going to be a recession this year. So my outlook has not changed, and the outlook of the people whose forecasting and analysis I trust hasn't changed either.
What have been some of your impressions? Have you been listening to the European media, how they're handling all of this?
Well, you know, it's funny because they have their own issues to deal with, and those issues are more serious in many ways than ours. There was an article today in, of all places, the New York Times, which shows that the balance of economic influence in Europe over the past 8 or 10 months has actually shifted southward. And so the countries that I've just come from, and I'm not taking any credit for this, but the countries that I've just come from are outpacing Germany and France and the UK in terms of their growth and their ability to control inflation. That is largely based on tourism, and tourism is largely based on middle class and upper middle class ability to spend a whole bunch of bucks. So what I'm, you know, scratching my head about and thinking to myself, well, there are real problems in the economies here in Europe. There's real problems in the economies in the U.S. But on balance, when we look at the statistics in a macro sense, you know, things are pretty good in the U.S. and getting a lot better here in Europe.
So tell us again where you are headed next, Shelley.
Okay. So tomorrow morning, I head to the airport here in Venice, Italy, because tomorrow is a national holiday in Italy, and I can't rent a car anywhere else but at the airport, and I'm going to drive to Verona. So I go from Gilbert and Sullivan, you know, I'm called Gundoletti, and that's it, to Two Gentlemen of Verona, to Shakespeare. We'll spend about 10 days in Verona and then head to Padua, which in Italian is Padova, and we'll spend a couple of days there. This is an area of northern Italy called the Veneto, and it's one of the most commercially vibrant and artistically vibrant areas of Italy. We'll head back on May 15th, but I've got two shows to do with you guys between now and then.
Oh, yeah. And I wanted to ask you about Venice. There was a demonstration a couple of days ago, right, about tourism workers were not happy with the fact that the Italian government is going to charge every tourist to enter a certain area there in Venice?
Well, that's true. For whatever reason, the Pope probably being one of the reasons, the Pope's appearance here, the government of Venice has decided to charge an entrance fee for tourists who are coming in for the day, not for tourists who are staying here. I mean, I've got a ticket, if you will, that exempts me from that charge because I'm staying here in Venice. But for, you know, day tourists, it's a $5 or a €5 charge. And a lot of people are unhappy about it. And I don't think if I were a betting guy and, you know, you and I have just bet a quarter and 50 cents. But if I were a betting guy, I don't think they'd do it again.
Okay, Shell, we've got a few seconds left. Any parting thoughts here before we check in with you next week?
Yeah, I am amazed at, in this trip so far from Istanbul around the islands of Greece and up the Adriatic, how strong the economies seem to be and how strong tourism is, even in this introduction to the tourist season. There doesn't seem to be any lack or shortage of money to spend. And the people I talk to are saying that they're expecting a really great season. So, you know, I hope they're right. They hope they're right. But I've been to Europe now every year for, the past decade or two. And what I'm seeing is what I'm used to seeing.
All right. Shell, have a good trip, rest of your trip, and we'll talk to you again. I've got a couple more visits with you still coming from Europe. So have a great rest of the day. Or, well, it's already your day's over. Have a good night.
Really,
have a good night, Shell. Thank you very much.
Okay, Bill, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay, thanks a lot. Shelley Fishman with us checking in from Venice, Italy. Take a break right here. It's National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day, and we'll have one of those shelter dogs with me in studio right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our go-to place for everything green. It's a great place to do all of your spring gardening, and the weather has been just absolutely perfect for that. Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site, also is home to Zocalo and all that wonderful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. There are actually five shops that are all part of Zocalo Village. So check it out, Green Things, and their website is greenthingsaz.com, and the Zocalo Village website is zocalovillage.com. Green Things and Zocalo Village are Green Things has been in business now for 53 years. And they are open daily, and I hope you will stop by. When we do our telephone interviews, and we did the first half of our program today telephonically, that is presented by our friends over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. When we did our interview with Congressman Juan Ciscomani to start the show, and then we had Shelley Fishman checking in from Venice. So a lot going on the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition as we close out the month of April. All right, this is National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day. And to honor all of our friends, our four-legged friends, in all of the shelters all over the United States, the Buckmaster Show dedicating the next two segments to our animal friends. Monica Dangler is here, the director of the Pima Animal Care Center, which I'm a big fan of. As folks have listened to the show, we do a 30-second public service announcement on our program promoting Pima Animal Care, the friends of Pima Animal Care. Monica, great to see you.
Thanks so much for having myself and Belle here in the
yeah,
studio.
Yeah, I want to talk about Belle. Is the picture up? Did you post it
on
Facebook?
I just posted
okay,
it on
so,
Facebook.
All right. For all my Facebook friends, our friend in studio is Belle, a cute dog. 6 months this animal has been over at Pima Animal Care.
Yeah, she's been over for, about 6 months. She's a really great dog, right? She's a great example of dogs when we're so full that just kind of get overlooked because there's so many and it's overwhelming for people. She spent some time in the volunteer office where we have tons of people coming and going, and she loves everybody that she meets. And then she most recently was in foster for a couple months, just having a blast with her foster home.
So Belle is pretty typical of, animals are usually not adopted out right away. Is that kind of, what is kind of the chronology of a typical adoptee?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on the animal. Typically, PAC has, our length of stay in the shelter for dogs is what we call it, is actually really good compared to national numbers. We typically see dogs stay about 12 to 14 days in the shelter on average. Obviously, some dogs move out really quickly, right? Those puppies and those small dogs and those purebred dogs typically leave the day they become our property, so usually on day four, depending on how they come in. Where other dogs might stay a little longer, Belle is a nice older lady. She's probably about 6 years old, probably American Bulldog. So sometimes those bigger dogs tend to stay a little longer, both for breed bias reasons, and then just if you rent and you don't own a home, sometimes landlords aren't as accepting of different types of breeds that we have in the shelter.
What a friendly dog. And the picture is up on for, and I don't want to boast, but 5,000 people just have received
nice.
That Facebook post of myself holding that wonderful dog, Belle. Belle, come on over here again. Belle, I've got your treats. That should do it. Belle, here is, got your treats. There you go, honey. Okay, so let's talk about your letter to the community. This was a message from the director, you, mm-hmm. Monica, and you wanted first to say thank you. And why don't you set this up for us?
Yeah, so, last week, midweek, we were at a critical place in shelter capacity. We had a little over 550 dogs in the shelter, which, to put that in perspective for you, we have 225 adoptable kennels. We have a few other kennels for isolation and things like that, but that meant literally every kennel we had in the shelter, even those where people can't see the dogs, were all full other than two kennels. And we hadn't opened for the day. And it was very possible we got 50 to 75 dogs in that day, and we were going to have to make some really difficult decisions. So we put out a plea to our community, let them know we really needed help with fostering, adopting, and then holding on to healthy, friendly stray dogs so that we could get that population down to a more quote-unquote manageable number. And our community, as they always have, showed up all weekend long, and we were able to get from 550 dogs in the shelter to 475 by Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, 475 is still about 75 more dogs than we should have at this point in time, and we're going into that really busy season of the summer where we see a lot of dogs come in, not as many dogs leave. You know, people are doing vacations and things like that. So it's really critical for us to continue moving that needle down so that we can keep everybody happy, healthy, and safe. You know, and like I said, Belle's a perfect example. We know when we have more than 400 dogs in the shelter that the amount of time dogs like Belle that are super friendly and nice, they stay longer in the shelter when we have more and more dogs,
mm-hmm.
Right? And then when we get to past 500, we start seeing diseases pop up, right? I think you and I have talked many times about the different diseases. So we're really grateful of the community and hope that they can continue to help us.
In your letter, you wrote that since June of 2021, Pima Animal Care Center has been operating well above capacity. Why have we been operating well above capacity? And it kind of brings me back to, I remember you were, I don't know if you were in town. Were you in town when the center was inaugurated and built and through all that?
I was not here
yet. And I just wonder when they were designing the center, how they even came up with kind of the numbers that they would need to house the animals. So it's kind of a two-part question.
That's a big question.
I gave you a big question there about design, and then why we've been operating well now for 3 years.
3 years, yeah. So there's multiple reasons why. There's not one singular reason. You know, one big reason is a lot has changed since COVID, right? We've seen inflation, prices for things increasing with wages not necessarily increasing for people. So it's become less affordable for people to have pets. We've seen more people, more housing here in Pima County be less pet inclusive. And that's across the country, by the way. That's not just Pima County, where we're seeing landlords who maybe used to let pets be in their rental property they don't let them at all, or they increase the pet rent where it's not affordable any longer.
Is that a trend?
A trend across the country we're seeing.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So it really limits who can take a dog or what type. Right. We're seeing more people that aren't necessarily evicted, but they aren't able to find a rental property quickly and easily, just in general, never mind that also takes their pets, especially when you have large breed dogs. We're seeing a lot of that. And then, right, there's that access to veterinary care piece. Across the country, there is a national veterinary shortage. And we saw that starting in, it was pre-COVID, we had a shortage, but then COVID kind of made it happen faster. We saw a lot of veterinarians retiring. We saw more people getting pets. So it just kind of snowballed. So there's just not enough vets here in Pima County to provide all the services that we want.
That's a huge piece.
Yeah.
Is it because younger people just don't, they're not attracted to that profession? What are you hearing?
Well, there's a limited number of vet schools, and I can't remember how many there are nationally.
And we've got now a vet school, right? University of Arizona here in Tucson.
Yep. So we have University of Arizona in Tucson, and then there's Midwest up in Phoenix. So we have two here. Mm-hmm. But University of Arizona just graduated their very first class this last summer. So it'll take a little while to build that up.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not enough veterinarians. It's not even that there's not enough going to school. The classes are fairly limited, right? Because they're doctors. So they can only graduate so many veterinarians a year. And we just need more veterinarians.
And the retirement piece is huge. It's not just vets. But family doctors have been retiring in just record numbers all across the country. It's kind of a changing of the guard of the medical profession in this country. Before we take the break, when the center was designed, did they use some kind of a... How did they decide how many kennels would be needed?
They did. They consulted with multiple national experts, the University of Florida, UC Davis. There's multiple shelter experts that they consulted in both the design of the shelter and then how many kennels that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, building shelters is kind of like building prisons. As fast as you build them, they're going to fill up.
Right.
So that's why we really take the approach of being a resource to the community and trying to keep pets with their families first instead of being that intake facility.
Monica Dangler is here. She is the director of the Pima Animal Care Center. And with me on this side of the table, just under the table, is my friend Belle. And if you want to take a look at Belle, Belle is available for adoption. Coming, highly recommended, my few minutes with Belle. Love this dog. There's a picture of Belle on my Facebook page. Take a look, and I think you'll fall in love with that Belle smile that she's displaying. We'll take a break right here. More with Monica and Belle and Bill after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Boy, what a perfect time of year to head over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson and the greening of the Gila National Wilderness. Perfect time of year. Spring in the Gila, and the elevation is just right. We're starting to talk a lot now when we talk about Silver City with the Buckmaster Show. Guarantee. We have a lot of fun with this, saying it's going to be 10 degrees cooler, by and large, than Tucson. Could be 15 degrees because of the elevation, so it's a great place to cool off at that 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning before you make the trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Monica Dangler is here. She is the director of the Pima Animal Care Center, and with us, our special guest on this, the National Shelter Pet Day dog. The dog of the Buckmaster Show is Belle. Belle's been at PACC for about 6 months, and what a loving animal. Belle is kind of starting to crash, taking a little nap here right at my feet. If you'd like to take a look at Belle, now up for adoption, go to Bill Buckmaster on Facebook, and there's a great picture of Belle. So actually a couple of pictures that Monica took of Belle. So Monica, spay and neuter, people are always wondering what's the deal there. You guys do the best you can, and where are we in that whole program?
Yeah, so spay and neuter is an important piece of that life-saving equation. It's not the silver bullet that everybody wants to make it out to be, but it's definitely an important piece. And like we talked about before, we're in a veterinary shortage. Pima County is in the 23rd percentile of access to veterinary care. The only ones worse than us, and I don't even think they're worse than us, I think they're about the same, is kind of the regular places. Mississippi, Nevada, Louisiana.
Whoa.
So we're not in a good place on that.
No.
And even, Maricopa has a little bit better access to care, but they're still in the, I think the 40th percentile. So they still don't, they mm-hmm. also don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
So we just really need more veterinary services here to really make an impact. People want to spay and neuter their pets. It's just about, is it affordable and is there a doctor that can do it for them? Pima County invests $400,000 annually for public spay neuter. And then we also invest another $100,000 for community cats at vendor clinics. So these aren't surgeries we're doing in-house. We're doing them with contracted vets. So we've been doing that for a pretty long time. I think since 2001, we've been investing a nice amount of money. But we're coming to the point where the costs are starting to increase to the point that we can't do very many surgeries. So we really need to look at how do we target those surgeries to really make sure we're hitting the animals that need it the most and the people that need it the most. And then how can we find some of these other low-cost solutions for everybody else?
So how often do you have like a clinic available?
So with the county funds available, that's available year-round.
Okay.
And so that's just you call in and we have a rubric to determine, is that pet a high-risk pet for pregnancy and things like that, to fund those surgeries. Otherwise, because PAC is a municipal shelter, we've got a whole bunch of rules and regulations we got to go by, and we're not able to offer these big MASH community clinics at the shelter because we can't compete with the private industry, and then also we've got that Arizona gift clause that we have to make sure we don't violate.
Okay.
So we do work with Friends of PAC, right? And they do fundraising for spay neuter. They did their first big fix event last year where they focused on large dogs and did free spay neuter. They've got another one coming up. Oh, I believe it's in June. So look for more information on that. And then we've been working with them as well as some private donors to provide free spay neuter for community cats. PAC is able to do those spay neuter services at the clinic because they're unowned animals. So that's kind of the difference, and it's usually kind of confusing for everybody.
Well, now I know.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that. Getting back to your letter to the community on Facebook, and you make some really good points, and this is important. Keep a collar and visible ID tag on your dog at all times to help your neighbors get your pets back to you quickly and easily when the unexpected happens.
Yeah, I mean, that is the one thing that everybody who has a dog can do today that will make a huge impact for PAC in the shelter and the animals at PAC. Keeping that collar and visible ID tag on, that way your neighbor finds them, they can just bring them back to you right away, text you, get a hold of you, and not use shelter resources. The number one way dogs get lost, Bill, is out the front door or out the open gate that you didn't know was open.
Right.
Right? So let's just get those pets back quickly. So that we have the resources to help those pets that are sick and injured.
And chances are you walk the neighborhood, the neighbors know about this pet that's out.
Yeah, 80% of the pets that are lost are found within a mile of their home. I believe it was 25 to 30% were found in their front yard.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's keep those pets where they belong, and so people can have, you know, keep their pets and make it easy. And then, right, the other piece of that is when we're taking the pets out of the community and bringing them to the shelter, the chances of them getting reclaimed from the shelter are minimal, right? And there's lots of different reasons for that. It's really far away from a lot of people. People are afraid that they're going to get ticketed or they're going to get put on some list. Who knows what, you know, what it is. So they end up staying there. But then we know that people, once they lose their pet and they can't find it, they go out and get a new pet. So we're creating this demand for breeders to breed that doesn't necessarily need to be there if we can keep pets in their homes and in their communities.
All right. I wanted to allow more time for this, which means I'll have to bring you back. And gladly, Monica Dangler, that America's, it's not just Tucson, it's the your business, the animal care, animal welfare business is in crisis.
Absolutely. It's been in crisis since COVID. And like I said, a lot of different things are impacting animal shelters. The same thing, the same things that are impacting people, right? Healthcare, the access to affordable food, you know, you name it. If it impacts a person, it's impacting the pets too. So that's why we're really seeing this all over. But like I said, there are some easy solutions. There's the stuff that we've already been doing, and PAC does a lot. And that's why we're one of the only large municipal intake shelters in the country that's still considered life-saving. We still save at least 90% of those animals that come into the door. But putting a tag and collar on your dog, easy. If you don't have pets, share PAC's message on Facebook. Help lost and found pets get home if you find them instead of immediately bringing them to PAC.
Very good point, Monica Dangler. And can you quickly tell us about where you are and your hours?
Yeah, so we are open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 12 to 7, except Wednesdays. We open a little bit late. We open at 1:30, and then the weekends, 10 to 5. So we would love to have people come down anytime to see us, foster, adopt, take a dog on a day trip. All dog adoptions are free, and all pets come vaccinated, microchipped, and spayed or neutered.
Okay, on behalf of Bell, Bell is available for adoption right now. Bill and Monica wishing everyone well.